In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, everybody. We are still on the Sermon on the Mount. Last week and today, we have heard in Matthew's Gospel what to do or not to do, how to behave or not behave. Jesus explains that it's not good enough to only do the right thing, but he expects the disciples to go beyond, above and beyond what the socially acceptable. So he's setting the bar pretty high for his disciples and for us. To give more, go the extra mile, to love your enemies, not only the people that you like. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's a pretty tall order. As Christians, Christ followers, we are called to act Christ-like, have the mind of Christ, and now we are called to be holy or perfect. So I looked up the word holy and found it's mentioned 611 times in the Bible, 431 times in the Old Testament, and 180 in the New Testament. So I'm going to assume that that word holy is very important to God. The definition of holy is devout, pious, pure in heart, saintly, sinless, spiritually perfect, belonging to God, and set apart for God's service. Well, I got the belonging to God part. The rest of it, I am not so sure about. And I don't know how that sits with you, but I find the word holy very intimidating. Because only God is holy, and only Jesus is sinless. So how are we supposed to become holy? Since God makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust, why do we even want to become holy? In the world I see today, I don't necessarily see a big difference between those who follow Christ and those who do not. We know not all Christians are good and nice people, and we know not all good and nice people are Christians. So what then is the difference? And I think it comes from the heart, like Father Chuck spoke about last week. It's your heart. That's the difference. We choose to believe and accept God's gift of salvation through Jesus. And through our faith, we willingly choose to inwardly digest Jesus' words, and we try to love one another as God loves us. The reading from Leviticus mirrors the reading from Matthew. So God, through Moses, is telling the Israelites, his chosen people, how to worship him and how to live in community with each other. God's main point is, you shall be holy. She's so cute. Okay, back to this. Okay, where was I? God's main point is, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Therefore, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So God has called his people to be holy, and that is pure in heart and devout. And Jesus, by his example, showed the disciples and us how to live holy, which is sinless, perfect, and set apart for God's service. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, we are God's temple, and that God's Holy Spirit dwells within each one of us. This holy indwelling occurs at the sacrament of baptism. Through the blessed water of baptism, we are cleansed from sin and reborn by the Holy Spirit. We are then anointed with consecrated oil, and sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. The prayers that we say in the baptismal covenant, whether we speak it for ourselves or we pray for others, those prayers strengthen us as we embark and travel on our own path of holiness. When we accept Jesus as our Savior and Redeemer, we become active members of the body of Christ. We continue to grow in our faith. We learn to trust God deeper and allow Jesus to be Lord in all the areas of our lives, which means we don't keep part of it back, right? You know, we give him everything, and he gets to keep everything. So the desire to become Christ-centered becomes more important than the desire to stay self-centered. And of course, we're still a work in progress. We all know that. We're ever evolving to become Christ-like. The only way we can even hope to become holy is through the Holy Spirit, because we cannot attain such a lofty goal on our own in any way, shape, or fashion. And we do make poor choices. And when we do, the Holy Spirit convicts us. We truly repent, and we start again on that path. God's great love for us encourages us to keep moving forward, and the Holy Spirit gently nudges us to stay in that holiness path, which is really good because we need all the help we can get, right? We need something, the Holy Spirit, to keep us focused, keep us going, kind of say, you don't want to go this way, you don't want to go this way, you want to stay straight. Now, Lent is coming, right? The season of Lent will be here soon. We'll be focusing on the passion and the victory of our Lord. But throughout the rest of the year, we should remember the passion that Jesus went through. He died on that cross for each one of us. But we also have to remember the victory in the resurrection. We come from a point of victory. And how can you possibly say anything else than thank you, Lord? Thank you for the victory that you have given us. So this truth reminds us to stay grounded in the Word of God and build on that foundation of Christ. So the tools that we have available to us, staying in the Word, we have friends that hold us accountable. I mean, I know that I do. Debbie in the back, Joe back here, they hold me accountable. We're part of this community, right? We're part of the community of Nativity and the body of believers. We're at other ministries. You know, we read the prayer book, we study, we belong to home groups, we listen to Christian music, we read Christian books. We stay surrounded by this body to help us stay focused, stay on the path. And as we become more Christ-like, we actually want to love the people that God brings to us, the good and the bad. We want to share the good news of Jesus with a hurting world. We might actually want to become holy and not only belong to God, but let God utilize us in here and out there. So we try to live up to the song that we sang last week, "They will know we are Christians by our love." And then we're going to take that a step further, raise our hands and say, "Here I am, Lord," right? "Use me, here I am." Now, however, we are still human. And we know we are broken. So we strive for the goal, but we continue to fall short, which can be really disappointing and really frustrating to know that we're always trying, but we continue to fail. We may cry out in distress, like Paul did. "I do the things that I don't want to do, and I continue to do, you know, I'm not able to do the things I want to do." Right? We make poor choices. We try to make holy choices. Every once in a while we get it right, you know, but for the most part, we're still trying. So I have a newsflash. God knows. God already knows that. He knows what we've done in the past. He frees us by healing us from the past. How do you walk into the future with the Lord if you're hanging on to the stuff in the past? So he heals us, he restores us, and he reconciles us with the Father. Isn't that totally cool? We don't have to carry that. We can let it go. Give that to the Lord. So what if we look at this direct command that we've received, right, to be holy and perfect? What if we see this in a different light? What if Jesus is offering this as an invitation to each one of us to be holy and perfect? What if we saw ourselves the way God sees us? We see ourselves falling short, right? We see ourselves broken. Or the other end, we see ourselves just great. We don't need God. We're good to go. God sees us healed. He sees us whole. He sees us loved and perfect because we're his children. He sees our potential, and he sees the end result. Not necessarily the stuff in the middle, you know, that we ask him to take care of and redeem for us. Because we believe in the good news of the gospel, we have this foundation that we stand on, right? We're standing on the foundation of Jesus. We are salt and light to a dark and hurting world. And when we're following the Holy Spirit's lead, we will walk in God's will. We're already in it. And then we can really share the love of Jesus to those around us and to those in the world that we come in contact with. We're actually able to do it because God loves us. So when we see each other through the eyes of God's heart, when we look at ourselves through God's heart, we can accept the invitation to become holy and perfect as our loving Father in heaven is holy and perfect. And then we are able to fulfill the two great commandments, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all of our mind. We will also truly be able to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. Please take a moment to think about how God